Good evening, everyone. This is John W. Vandercook speaking for Alka-Seltzer, bringing you the news of the world. The United States Navy has just announced that an American submarine has sunk a 5,000-ton Jap cargo ship north of the Philippines and somewhere off the coast of China. And from the East Indies today has come this reassuring news that a very small but at least a token force of American troops and of Yankee war pilots is now on the job in Dutch Java. A formation of 16 American pursuit planes, another Washington communique affirms, has already joined in the air defense of the port of Surabaya and brought down six of the attacking Jap aircraft. An eyewitness in the same part of the world has now described that destruction of the oil properties at Palembang on Sumatra Island. It was a huge blaze and a huge success. $500 million worth of oil and of oil-making equipment went up in flames, and 81 miles of pipeline were destroyed. It will take many months to put the Palembang fields back in use. In hard-pressed Burma, the Japanese, after being briefly held earlier today, have now driven successfully across the shallow stream of the Bilin River. In a minute, we will hear our news broadcast direct from the world's far corners. But first, here is a word from Charles Lyon.
If you work under tension at a sort of exacting kind of job, the chances are you're troubled now and then with that common ailment known these days as nervous indigestion. It's a byproduct of the kind of age we live in. So, for this modern ailment, let me suggest the modern way to relief offered by Alka-Seltzer. Yes, Alka-Seltzer offers prompt, effective relief for nervous indigestion because its friendly effervescence soothes and relaxes that jittery stomach and makes you feel much better. It's easy to take Alka-Seltzer, for all you do is dissolve a tablet or two in a glass of water, then drink it. Remember, it is not a laxative. All druggists have Alka-Seltzer, either by the package or by the glass. And now, the news of the world.
For news of our fighting men who are now stationed in distant Iceland, we switch first to Reykjavik.
New York. This is Bjorn Bjornsson speaking from Reykjavik, Iceland. Judging by activities of the photographic unit of the Signal Corps in Iceland, there will be no lack of complete picture records of what the American forces are doing in this war. In the few months that it has been here, the photographic unit has taken over 15,000 feet of movie films and about 1,700 still photographs. Every phase of the troops' activities up here is included in these pictures, beginning with the debarkation of troop and supply ships and running through the daily routine of field artillery firing, maneuvers, recreation, and the task of constructing roads and building mission huts. Working with all the speed of newspaper cameramen, the six members of Iceland's photographic unit are on call all of the time, prepared to cover accidents, storms, and anything out of the ordinary that may occur. Among some of the more interesting assignments covered, members of this unit tell me, were pictures of the damaged destroyer Kearney, which limped into Iceland some months ago. About 1,200 feet of movie films were taken at that time, in addition to a large number of still pictures. Photographs and films taken in Iceland are sent to Army headquarters in Washington, where they undergo censorship and are released to newspapers and the theaters. The photographic unit here has converted a mission hut into a laboratory where the staff does all its own developing and printing. About 17,000 prints have been made since the unit began its operations. I now return you to New York.
It has just been revealed that an Axis submarine last night made its way into the harbor of Port of Spain, Trinidad, and apparently torpedoed two ships which were at anchor in the Gulf of Paria, though neither vessel sank. The explosions took place within actual sight and hearing of the United States Army base on Trinidad Island. The venture was daring, for the big Trinidad Gulf is one of the most compactly closed natural harbors in the whole of the West Indies. Port of Spain City was blacked out after the attack. One of those other German U-boats, which were at large down in the West Indies area today, also torpedoed another oil tanker. And another enemy submarine, or perhaps the same one, seems to have come briefly to the surface, unlimbered its deck guns, and then lobbed a few shells in the general direction of the giant gasoline refinery on Aruba Island. Anyway, a somewhat muddled report says that some stray projectiles of unknown origin did bounce around without doing much harm. Such tidings are discouraging. No one enjoys the presence of wolves right in his own front yard. Considering their opportunities, though, the German sneak boats of the seas have not yet done great execution around the Dutch islands. 8 oil tankers have been sunk or damaged, and that's 8 too many. But it is not as if the submarines off Venezuela were hunting stray whales. It is much more as if they were hunting sitting ducks at the height of the open season. The oil cracking plants on Aruba and Curaçao get their raw petroleum from the wells of nearby Maracaibo, and they get it every day. Tankers, most of them quite small ones, run back and forth the mainland like ferry boats, just as often and in even thicker flocks. When the pontoon bridge that closes Willemstad Harbor on Curaçao is open in the early morning, I have seen as many as 10 of those small tankers waiting to come in all at once. The run between the wells and the refineries is so short that it is ordinarily made in a few hours. And now, across our own nation and across another ocean, we take you to our reporter in Australia.
This is Mervyn K. Schlossberg speaking from Sydney, Australia, 10:21 a.m., Friday. The long-expected attack on Darwin, northern outpost of Australia, has come. Half seriously, half curiously, Australians have been asking each other the question, when do you think they'll come to Darwin? For 2.5 months now. That they have come, twice in one day. With 72 bombers in the morning attack and 21 in the afternoon raid, and have done considerable damage. These facts answer this question, and also answer the view of some that they would systematically defeat each of the islands of the Dutch Indies before coming to Australia. Now that Australia has experienced, in the words of the Prime Minister, the physical contact of war, any complacency in feeling that the enemy will follow out the plan of campaign that we think she will should be banished from all minds. In announcing the morning raid on Darwin, Mr. Curtin said that total mobilization is the government's policy for Australia. This gave unexpected emphasis to the issuing in the previous afternoon of a long list of trades and manufactures, which at the end of this month will be prohibited, at first in 2 states, then throughout the country. The list includes most luxury lines and many non-essentials, which we have come to consider necessities. By invitation, the Lieutenant Governor General of the Dutch East Indies, Dr. Van Mook, attended the meeting of the Advisory War Council on Wednesday. Earlier in the day, Dr. Van Mook advocated that the democracies seek out the enemy and give up the principle of retiring to prepared positions. There's a growing note in the press also of the offensive spirit. One paper this morning says that while help is coming, the nation must so face the situation until such help arrives that Australia will be worthy of it. From the Prime Minister down, I think everyone realizes now that every coastal city in Australia might be attacked any day. The government has realized this all along, but only in recent weeks have people been thinking it probable rather than possible, and sooner rather than later. I now return you to San Francisco.
And now back across the continent to John W. Vandercook in New York.
And next, across the Atlantic again, while Robert St. John reports from London.
This is London. There is still no confirmation here of American reports that Winston Churchill will boil down his war cabinet. Today, off in a town in France built of black lava and called Riom, 6 men were put on trial, 6 men charged with leading France to defeat. 6 men headed by Daladier, Blum, and Gamelin. Today, here in London, some of us went around to a big marble building which serves as Free French headquarters. And there, in an oak-paneled room, we met dynamic little Monsieur Mendes France, once the youngest lawyer in all France, once the youngest member of Parliament, then the youngest member of the War Cabinet, and finally, he went off as a bomber pilot to fight the Nazis. He was captured, imprisoned, tried on a technical charge of being 5 hours late arriving at a certain spot on a certain day when all France was in confusion and it was almost impossible to get anywhere. For that grave offense, he was sentenced to prison for 6 years. He appealed. The day he heard that his appeal had been rejected, he broke jail and fled. For the last 9 months, he's been living in various parts of France in disguise. And at last, he found a way to freedom, and now, today, he's here in London. Before long, he'll fly off to bomb the Nazis. But while this trial in Riom goes on, he'll be broadcasting to his own people, telling them what he knows about French justice. He told us today. He says it's impossible for anyone to get a fair trial in France. If a prisoner is found not guilty by the court, the police throw him into a concentration camp anyway. But nothing, says Monsieur Mendes France, can stop 95% of the population from having strong anti-Nazi feelings. And now this is Robert St. John in London, switching you to Earl Godwin in Washington.
Your Uncle Sam's strategy to beat the enemy on his own home grounds, first laid out on the line by President Roosevelt, accented again today by Secretary of War Stimson, who told us while we are building a sound, vigorous offensive force to carry that war to the enemy, there is every danger and chance that we will be surprised and attacked again and again. That settles the question of spreading out the defense so thin we'll have the Army and Navy on guard with nothing to do but shunt off an attack here and a raid there, whereas the real strategy of our high command is to develop the air, land, and sea forces together in such strength and working order that we can afford to disregard the inevitable kicks on the shins, seacoast shellings, and pitch in and wipe the Jap off the map along with the rest of the Axis. This is the first time in this war anybody on our side has really thought of and worked at landing on and beating up the enemy in his own front yard, and let us chalk it up on the barn door that America started that idea first. Meantime, Stimson's fighting colleague Frank Knox of the Navy was asked what the Navy's doing to protect these shores. He answered in parable form that there is an awful lot of bread and very little butter, and we have to spread the butter very thin. And just to make sure for your benefit, Private Godwin asked Carl Vinson, chairman of the Naval Affairs Committee, if the actual building of the ships for the new, unparalleled in size, two-ocean Navy is going along well. And Carl answered, "You can tell the folks on your program that never in the world was a naval shipbuilding program going so fast, so furiously, and so well. And it looks as though we might get somewhere if we hold out." The Senate has voted 76-5 to repeal the pensions for Congress, Cabinet, and President. And then I must blush for my misleading statement last night that the Senate would not vote on the Downey Ham and Eggs pension bill for $30 to the needy at age 60. They voted 35 minutes ago and killed Ham and Eggs 49-22. And that's all from Washington at this time.
More late news in just a moment. Here is a message from the makers of Alka-Seltzer about a new one-a-day vitamin tablet. The name is One-A-Day brand Vitamin B Complex Tablets. Yes, the same brand name as the famous One-A-Day Vitamin A and D tablets so many of you are taking every day. But the new tablet contains an entirely different group of vitamins, the vitamins of the B Complex. The vitamins of this new B Complex tablet are just as important to you as the A and D. The body cannot get along and maintain its normal activity without B-complex vitamins. When the supply of these B vitamins becomes low, certain warnings are given out which have been described as loss of appetite, subnormal growth in children, nervous irritability, digestive disturbances, and certain skin troubles. These symptoms, of course, do not always indicate vitamin B deficiency, as there are many other possible causes for any of them. But they are an indication of the importance of getting an adequate amount of these vitamins. So play safe. Be sure you get your basic requirements, not only of vitamins A and D, but also B complex. One-a-day brand vitamins make it both easy and economical because, listen, just one of each, once a day, is all you take. Ask your druggist for both one-a-day vitamin A and D tablets in the yellow box and one-a-day vitamin B complex tablets in the gray box. Look for the big one on each package. Now, back to the newsroom.
Chung King, a Chinese spokesman today, promises that the Chinese expeditionary force, which is now making its way over the rough mountain country into Thailand, will soon launch a real counteroffensive against the Japanese. To date, though, the two Oriental armies, enemies so long, have made actual contact in Thailand at only one point. That engagement was no more than an opening skirmish. But, by the way, the Chinese won it. And that's the news of the world. This is John W. Vandercook speaking for Alka-Seltzer. Until tomorrow at this same time, goodbye from the newsroom in New York. This is the National Broadcasting Company.